Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to The Connection, a weekly radio program where we share our experiences and expertise with stories of caring, courage, and change right here in Connecticut. Listen to learn about needed resources to improve your well-being and transform your life. Now, here are the hosts of The Connection, Lisa DeMattis-Lepore and Anne Baldwin.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of The Connection. I'm one of your co-hosts, Anne Baldwin.
And Lisa DeMattis-Lepore, CEO from The Connection. And I am extremely excited this morning for our listeners to get to know and hear about this amazing, astonishing woman that's sitting to my right, Commissioner Yvonne Klein from the Department of Housing. Have so much respect for her and the amazing work that she's done in Connecticut for many years. And she's here today to talk about some of the near and dear things that she's working on under the administration of Governor Malloy. So I want to welcome you today to our show and say thank you for being here.
Well, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
You know, it's interesting, Commissioner, because back in my Channel 30 days, I did a lot of stories on affordable housing and lack thereof. Mm-hmm. And I've seen so much progress, you know, lately in the entire state of Connecticut. And we talk on this program a lot about how one thing is related to another, could be related to a health issue or mental health issue. And isn't it true that one of the big components for that is housing and affordable housing?
Well, affordable housing is critical in so many ways. I mean, housing is critical in so many ways. So we've been fortunate under the leadership of Governor Malloy to have a governor who recognizes the need for affordable housing. And to that end, he created the Department of Housing. So it's hard to believe that Connecticut for decades didn't have a standalone Department of Housing until the Malloy administration. So the department is 4 years old. And during our tenure, we've made great strides. And I'm really proud of that. And we didn't do it alone. We've done this with our partners. So you're right. We've invested as a state and along with our financing partner, CHAFA, the Connecticut Housing Finance Authority, over $1 billion in affordable housing across the state of Connecticut. So that equals 21,000 units of housing across the state. And when I say 21,000 units, that also includes 18,000 of those are affordable units. Our funding goes to mixed income housing, which I can talk a little bit about later, but I'd like to focus on our current investments. We have been investing in affordable housing in all kinds of municipalities. Suburbs, urban areas. So we've been very, there's been a tremendous amount of interest and a tremendous need. So I'm proud of the funding that we've invested along with CHAFA, but also that funding has been matched by over $2.5 billion from other financial sources, which is critically important. So there's support and funding out there.
So how do you two come together? How do the Connection and the Commissioner of Housing, how do your departments come together? How do your worlds collide, if you will?
Our worlds collide because the Connection does a lot of housing programs. We have one of the biggest supportive housing programs in Connecticut, but we do other housing projects. And why housing is so near and dear to my heart is because I see that housing is so key for everyone in Connecticut a safe place to live, and really having a stable place to live and to, you know, to have that is so key for everyone, irregardless of really their status. Mm-hmm. And I think so many people take for granted the fact that, you know, they put their key in a door and they open up and they have sort of this safe haven where they live, and that housing is what Commissioner Klein has been able to do under the Malloy administration, is to open up housing opportunities for folks that didn't have that. And that's really a key to anyone's really success with either mental health or substance abuse or in general, to have a safe place to live. So I'm really grateful that, you know, that we've, you know, put this on the forefront, because it really wasn't a priority. I mean, for many years.
No, it wasn't a priority for many years. And I've been in public service for more decades than I care to count. and love it. You know, I do love it. But I remember years where we would wait for the state budget, and it would either be $0 for housing, or something like $5 or $6 million for housing. And in our department, we're the gap funders. So when we receive an application, we'll receive an ask for $5 million or $6 million just for one project. So can you imagine a state budget where you have only $6 million for housing? And you get, what do you get from that?
Right.
So, you know, years ago, Connecticut was very dependent upon federal funding for housing. And I think years ago, I mean, we also have not only the bricks and mortar programs in our department, but as Lisa mentioned, we have our supportive programs. So that's our Section 8 that we receive from the federal government. Our state rental assistance programs are now in the Department of Housing, funding for homeless shelters, funding for support services, and for various programs. So what we like to say in the department, on the housing spectrum, we do everything.
Right.
From homeless services to home ownership and everything in between.
Right. And really, Commissioner Klein is really the leader leading this pact of preventing and ending homelessness, which has been such a huge issue and concern for folks in Connecticut.
And isn't it true, too, that when someone can put that key in the door and open it up to their place, that they take better care of it? There's a sense of accomplishment. There's a sense of self-respect. There's a self of safe. There's a sense of safety, like any of us, right? That go home at night and put our key in our door and walk into our place, and they keep these places up. So I've heard naysayers say, "Well, you build these nice places for these people, and they just destroy them." But they don't, do they?
No, they don't.
No.
So much happens when you put a key in somebody's hand and they have a home to go to. So much happens. Connecticut is a housing first state.
Yes.
So what that means is that we believe, and you know, I when I talk about data, and data tells us, I always feel data is so cold, but we need to have data support this. Connecticut is a housing first state, and data supports the fact that when people have a home, a safe, stable, secure, and affordable home to go to, they will get and keep a job. They will get and stay sober. So whatever their challenges may be, this home centers them so that they can become productive. If they've had issues and they've not been productive contributing community members, that's who they become. So housing is transformative. And the naysayers, you know, what do you say about naysayers, right? So the naysayers will raise these issues, but the facts don't support what they're saying.
Correct.
So in Connecticut, we've had very good luck, you know, or we've had very good results. People who we've been able to put in an affordable home, and I'd like to talk a little bit about homelessness and our efforts to end homelessness and our success in that area. People are staying housed. The folks who we've matched with housing are staying housed. They're working and they're planting roots in their communities, and it's just so exciting to see. So why, so for the naysayers, when you have such good results, why wouldn't you want to make this investment? Because it's so good for the individuals, for the families, for the communities, bringing the vibrancy, the economic vitality to municipalities. Mm-hmm. You know, oftentimes, you know, folks will say, well, folks should be able to live where they work. It makes sense, right? And many folks are able to do that. But if you're a low-income family, you might not have that opportunity to do that.
Right, and I think there's an ignorance out there, I'll say this, on behalf of people who don't understand other folks' circumstances. So, you know, there's naysayers everywhere, so we're not going to talk anymore about right. them, because there are successes, you've got proven results. And let's talk a little bit about homelessness, because here we are, fall. Winter's right around the corner. And I mean, I see it all the time. I know firsthand, there's a gentleman that helps do work on my house who is sleeping in a tent right now because his time at a shelter ran out. So there, and he's a great guy, you know, and it's just, my heart breaks for him. But there's so many people out there that for one reason or another have found themselves homeless. And so what are you doing, Commissioner, to address that right now?
So what we've done in Connecticut, we've actually changed how we address homelessness. A few years ago, we were managing homelessness. People were shuffling from one shelter to the other, putting their name on lists, looking for help, and receiving some kind of support, but not the type of support they're getting today. So Connecticut is divided up now into 8 cans, and those access networks help folks. Instead of just, here's your shelter for tonight, we do an assessment. And we begin the process of getting people housed. So instead of just an entry system, we have an exit system, because the important thing is to exit people from homelessness.
And sometimes you need help with that. You know, I think that's this guy's situation. He doesn't have the ability really to figure it out.
And we can help him.
Right.
And so we've been fortunate in Connecticut to have a very strong and well-developed 211 system. So that's your first point of entry that will get you that will schedule an appointment so an assessment can be done, so we can understand the kind of supports an individual or a family may need. And our coordinated, and it's called Coordinated Access Networks. There are 8 throughout the state. And this is where community providers have come together to support the efforts to end homelessness, to support individuals and families to exit them out of homelessness. And you can't do this, you can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. One shelter can't do it. For folks who need community services, they're all at the table. We have a homeless management information system where instead of someone, you know, going to 4 different shelters, they have one assessment. They are on this one list, and what we're seeing are folks being moved off of that list because we've been able to coordinate our efforts and develop a system where we can rapidly identify somebody who's homeless and then rapidly find them stable, safe, permanent housing. So we will say, call 211, get in and do an assessment. And do we have folks who are resistant to that? Yes, mm-hmm. we do, and we always will.
Right.
And we've been fortunate, you know, way back now, you know, 2 years ago, we were the first state in the nation to end homelessness for our chronically homeless veterans. We are one of only 3 states to have effectively ended veteran homelessness. And we have begun our efforts to end youth homelessness and family homelessness.
Wow.
So we, you know, four and a half years ago, when I took this job and we talked about ending homelessness, I think we all looked at each other and said, well, you know, sort of shrugged our shoulders, threw our hands up, well, we're going to try. You know, how do you begin? And that began to take shape. And we have great partners who came to the table and said, yes, we want to do this and we're going to accomplish this, and how do we begin? So it's been a great group who's been able to take the risks, make the changes, become very adaptable, and to have a great system where we can house people.
You know, and that's where the connection and, you know, you guys come together, because you talk about even folks that are getting out of jail, right? The program, you know, helping them get ready, helping them find homes, helping them find, you know, the resources that they need. So when you say organizations around the table, I'm assuming, Lisa, that the connection's sitting at that table.
Or one of many, really, in the state that, you know, that participate in these, in the CAN meetings and supporting Department of Housing. Our homelessness, our youth homeless program is amazing. And in fact, if you remember, we had someone that spoke on the show recently who talked exactly about this housing
thing.
And that's why we're so grateful, really, for Department of Housing, because, the, you know, we're seeing this, you know, able to really get those folks right early on, that these younger adults into, you know, permanent supportive housing, which I think is amazing.
You know, and it wasn't that long ago that that individual was on the show. And when I think of homelessness, I don't think of youth. I don't think of young people. It just never enters my mind. And here we are in Connecticut. You don't see what you see in a lot of the inner cities, where you see the faces and you see the people that are homeless. You don't see that here. But you're telling me, Commissioner and Lisa, they're here.
They're here. And we actually, the good news is that we can help homeless families and individuals. And in terms of our youth, we have a youth services director within our department who's doing a great job of coordinating a number of things. We have to address youth homelessness. There are models of housing that are unique and specific to address youth issues. So in the department, we do have capital funding for any for organizations, and we've received a number of applications that are under review who are interested in building housing for homeless youth. So we're very excited about that. And in the department, you know, having spent time in local state government, I said, we can't be one of those inflexible state bureaucratic agencies, you know, that that can't be flexible and agile. So I'm proud to say that we've been very responsive, and we've set our goals and thought strategically about what are those elements that we need to be successful. So we've got a youth services director, we've got capital funding to invest, we have capital funding for shelters, homeless shelters, to address the needs of families, youth, and transgender individuals. So I'm proud to say that. And plus, we applied for as a group and as a state, and received $6.6 million for a youth demo grant, and it's the largest award that was made by the federal government, I am proud to say. And it was a very competitive round. They received 130 applications, and we were one of 10 to have been selected.
Wow, congratulations.
So we're a small department, but we set our goals and our strategy so that we can be successful.
And it sounds like you're listening to your community partners, that you're all in this together, because you brought up the point, Commissioner, that, you know, sometimes when you look for resources, you just don't want to put yourself in that bureaucratic whirlwind of, you know, going calling this person and calling that person. It sounds like because your agency is so new and because you started this agency, that this was part of the architectural design that you came up with.
Well, yes, thank you. It's my old habits. You know, it's my old Board of Education, local Board of Education training, old First Selectman training, where you go to people, where you make sure you're having conversations, you invite people to the table.
That know what they're talking about, that can give you real life input.
And also criticism.
Yeah.
Please tell me what I'm doing wrong so we can make it better. And I will say, I do have to credit the staff at the Department of Housing, who have been remarkably, you know, flexible and changing, and really taking the time to reflect on whenever we have a funding round. We have a rating and ranking. And I'm not going to get too technical, but you know, how did that work? Did we highlight our priorities in that rating and ranking? Did we receive the types of housing applications that meet the needs for Connecticut residents? How do we, or did we get something totally unexpected? And wow, and yeah, we need to do more of that. So we really think long and hard and turn things around as quickly as, you know, quickly so that we can be responsive, but also be leaders and be innovators in what we do.
If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Commissioner Yvonne Klein from the Department of Housing, Connecticut Department of Housing, and Lisa DeMatteis-Lepore is with us as well. She's got a little frown on her face. What's that frown for?
No,
turn that frown upside down.
No, I'm just thinking about, it's not a frown. I'm really so grateful, Commissioner Klein, because you stand out to me because what I've seen you do is to come out in force and really meet the clients and the folks that are living in these housing units. You've come out and toured many programs. You're always doing that. And that speaks a lot to me about really the commitment and the compassion that the Department of Housing has, because they are, you and the staff are very invested in assuring that that, you know, folks' voices are being heard, and that you're out there really seeing, you know, how these benefits are, you know, stopping generational cycles of, you know, homelessness, and really what the effect that it's having on all generations,
right,
of the family, and really implanting people to feel that they're valued citizens. And I think that's really huge, and it speaks a lot, because, like, you know, you said, probably your background and just who you are, and, you know, you your passion is there, and it affects all of us, because that gets myself excited to, you know, see that Commissioner Klein is really out there, and, you know, she supports what folks are doing, and she wants to see the success, and she's, you know, willing to take you know, feedback and take that back and do what she, you know, what she needs to do,
and right, and to get that input
and
is and to make it, that's why it's working. That's why it's working. Commissioner, can you share with me, without, you know, breaking confidentiality, to Lisa's point, you go out, you see these programs, you meet these people. Do you have a favorite, like, success story?
I don't have a favorite, but I have some that are memorable. There's this one woman who describes herself as, in her past, being in a very dark hole, and did go through our system, if you will, you know, starting with 211, and received the appropriate support services, which she needed. She had a mental health issue, and she actually, I met her after she had written a letter of thanks to the department, which was very nice. And when she was writing her letter, she explained that she had been in a dark hole and how housing had changed her life, and that she was writing this letter on her day off from her job.
Wow.
And you just know, yep, how meaningful.
I just had a chill at my,
yep,
that was,
yep,
right?
Yeah.
So the day off from our job in our homes that we take for granted. So it gives you a whole new perspective on how important home is when you look at it through someone else's eyes,
yep,
who didn't have that.
What a great story.
So that to me is a story that gets me every day, because her day off, it just meant so
that
much.
Yeah, she didn't say, you know, I thank you for my home, and by the way, I got a job. You read through the message to make your own conclusions, which makes it even more inspirational, right? And you need that foundation to get started, right? You need that, you know, that security. And I'm sure that it's impacted, you know, the crime rate has gone down. The people are just more settled in, and
we see that, you know, we see that in our data, and it's far more expensive to keep somebody homeless than it is to put someone in a home. Mm-hmm. And the numbers are, it costs about, for all the services that homeless folks need, whether they're incarcerated, whether they're going to emergency rooms, and and any public service that they need. So for an individual, it's about $33,000 a year. And then for a family, it's $122,000 a year. But if you can put them in a home and help them with rental assistance, it's $10,000 a year for an individual and about $15,000 a year for a family. And then the benefit of being in that home and the good things that come for that, from that stable employment.
Right.
Children go to school. When children are homeless, they don't go to school.
Right.
Homeless children, if they're not, you know, bringing them out of poverty, have a greater success rate. If they stay in poverty, these children will remain homeless again.
It's a vicious cycle, right?
Crime.
So stop the cycle.
Yep. So that is what, you know, why I'm part, you know, why I'm so passionate about this, is that by having affordable housing in all of our municipalities, and we talk a lot about mixed income housing. So you have market rate housing and affordable housing,
right,
all in, you know, if you will, in one development, it's so much more beneficial to take these kids and give them a better opportunity, because they will,
exactly,
data tells us, they are more successful than their mm-hmm. parents. They have a greater likelihood to go in the Army, go in the service, graduate from high school, and have successful jobs.
And families. And so really what stabilized housing is doing is stabilizing generations to, you know, right, moving forward. Mm-hmm. Isn't that fabulous?
Right.
I mean, it's so key. Housing is so key. Yeah. I can't put enough emphasis on
that. Absolutely. So we've got just a few minutes left. So, Commissioner, final thoughts, and is 211 the best way to access your services?
Final thoughts on, if you are homeless, please call 211, and that will begin the process of getting someone housed. So that's really important, to start with 211. And final thoughts, we are encouraging municipal leaders to be proactive in promoting the development of affordable housing, yes, in their municipalities.
Mm-hmm. And again, we talk about stereotypes all the time. I just worked on a project for a client where some of the homes were market value and some of them were considered affordable homes. You couldn't tell one from the other. So it's not like you've got this big house next to a shack. I mean, you know, these are just the things I think that people conjure in their own minds, but it's not that way. It's home ownership. They all kind of look alike. It's a nice neighborhood. So, you know, educate yourself before you rush to judgment, right?
Exactly. And listen to what Commissioner Klein is saying, and I can't urge folks enough out there, make the call 211, and you will be directed to assistance that you'll need to, you know, become stabilized and to find affordable housing.
How long does the process take, Commissioner, or does it vary?
It varies with the individual. Yeah. It depends on what kind of, whether or not they have documentation, birth certificates, social security. I mean, it is a process. It
it's
all depends on the individual or family.
What if they have a criminal background? Irrelevant?
Irrelevant. Call 211 and we will help you.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
That is great.
Thank you so much, Commissioner Klein.
Thank you.
For your efforts and your compassion in really helping, stopping homelessness and working towards this amazing goal of allowing folks in Connecticut to feel valued citizens due to these housing efforts. I really can't say enough. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was great. And what I like to say, not good luck, continued success.
Yes.
Thank you.
So, you know, hats off to you for a program that's really in its infancy, but already showing proven results.
Huge results.
Huge results. And I think that's what everybody hopes and prays for. So it was a pleasure having you on the program. Lisa, always nice chatting with you as well.
Nice to see you today.
Absolutely. And thanks to all of our listeners for tuning in to this edition of The Connection right here on WTIC News Talk 1080.